Well, good morning.
Father, this time together, can we please you? Can we honor you? Yes, we can. And I pray, God, that the anointing of God would fall on this place, the power of God would fall upon us. God, I pray that our hearts would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit spoken by you for us today. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, as we continue our series on Walking with God, as we do the Waking the Dead book, one of the things about these, when I'm hearing Dusty or Rick preach, or even I'm sharing, that I feel like sometimes it's kind of like we're talking to you guys or people in my life that I try to share, like, hey, I saw a great movie, or hey, I heard a great song, or I listened to a great book, and I start to tell them about it, and I realize something. My passion level is way up here, and their look at me is kind of like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You seem to be excited about it, and it might be good, but I might check it out. I might engage in it. I might listen to it. I might watch it. If everything else falls into alignment, then I'm willing to participate. I'm asking you today to allow God to speak to your hearts as we continue this series. I have a few free books with me this morning, or we have in the back. If you would like a copy of Waking the Dead, you can have them, begin to read through it. We are doing this series because we think God had told us to do this. And so we're doing this to honor Him. But I need you to do something for me this morning. I need you to allow God to speak to your heart in the tender spots, in the place that He's trying to do some renewal, and some place He's trying to show you some things. Because as we continue through this, we're getting ready to come to what is termed in the book, the four streams of healing. And God is bringing these things together to show us how we can be fully alive. We have quoted this often. I'll quote it to you again this morning. The glory of God is man fully alive. How much of your week has been, I felt like I was fully numb, fully lost, fully out of touch, fully dead? Just not with it this week. Or maybe for weeks or months in the past. Well, God has so much for us right now, right here, right now, today. And as we look at these, I'll be talking about discipleship this morning, but here are the four streams. Discipleship, walking with God, counseling, receiving God's intimate counsel, healing, deep restoration. This isn't about surface level. This is not putting a Band-Aid on an artery that's been cut. This is about healing the depths of our heart. In warfare, spiritual warfare. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." The key to that phrase to me today is this. These healing streams, when David writes this, he says, God, you're going to tell me the path of life. The path, not a path, not a good path, not an okay path, not a mediocre path, the path of life. Filled with joy in your presence, not in my comfort, but in your presence. Such a huge difference. I believe one of the things that God has been doing in all of our lives recently, I really do believe this, is this. He's opening our minds and our hearts to the greatness of who He is. Not just the greatness of things He can do, but the greatness of who He really is. The awesomeness of God. And I don't know what that looks like in your life, but I know in my life, one of the things this looked like is trusting Him at a whole new level. Not just words that, God, I'm going to trust you. But God, if I don't trust you, I'm going to be overwhelmed. I'm going to collapse. I'm not going to make it. The path, not a path. So as we begin this morning, I would encourage you to either read the book, listen to the book, or talk to somebody that will read it to you. Some of you probably need a good bedtime story. Probably some of you just need some different things resonating in your mind today. So I challenge you with this. I also challenge you about something else. Those four streams. Often I, maybe not you, but I feel like I've kind of flirted with God a little bit. Kind of decided that getting by was God enough. That to me, to be fully alive was doing some quiet time, maybe doing a devotional, maybe blessing the food, maybe being nice to Kathy when she's nice to me, maybe being nice to my neighbors if I thought they were worth the investment. But I realized something, And I am realizing something, that was just sipping on the goodness of God and not drinking in the greatness of God. Big difference. Huge difference. So much difference, really kind of indescribable, really. So when we see these four streams this morning, I want you to pause and ask yourself this morning, am I truly on the path? The path. And the first part of discipleship or walking with God is simply this, living dangerously. Living dangerously. Matthew 7, 13 through 14 simply says this, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I was literally reading a story this week, had nothing to do with reading Waking the Dead or Walking with God, but I was literally reading a story this week about how in Hawaii, when someone gets lost in the jungle, they send out search parties to find them, and very often, people in the search party get lost and they're never found. So they decided to try to figure out what's going on. And one of the things they realized was this, when the search party goes out to try to find the person that's lost, the dense part of Hawaiian Islands are so dense sometimes that literally you can be walking which looks like a path of grass or a patch of grass with just some bushes over it, and the truth is, it's covering a crevice that goes down hundreds of feet. And you walk, you stand on it, you go right through the grass, and then it covers back up. And they never hear from you, they never see you, they never know where really what happened to you as you were looking for other people. Those people chose to go look for somebody else to try to help. Those people made a choice to say, I'm going to take a chance. You see, pursuing God, it can't be, it is a dangerous quest. Let me say that again for you, that pursuing God can be a dangerous quest because we are called to follow Christ, not Him follow us. And I think so often that we may think that we are following Him, but what we're really saying is, you come follow me. Come bless what I'm doing. He could speak something to danger to us at any moment. You know what danger looks like to us at times? Hey, you know that person that you think you have the right to be mad at? You need to forgive them. Hey, you know that person that's in your life or that person that was in your life that I'm telling you you're supposed to love as I love you and you're holding something back? That can be living dangerous too. How about a conversation with someone you don't know well, but God has impressed upon your heart and your mind? You need to speak truth. God's truth. And not worry about the outcome. That He can speak something dangerous to us. We need to forgive sometimes. We have a difficult conversation. And that we're waiting on further instructions for Him. You see, how often in our lives do we think, I've got it all figured out. I've got this under control. And realizing that the very next moment, how little we really do have under control. How little we are needing to live by faith. But I think such a danger to us, church, is this. You ready for this? That we're just kind of living in neutral. That we're just kind of getting through. We're just kind of getting by. And that there were, I told you earlier about, I had some quiet time. I read a devotional. I listened to so-and-so preach a sermon online. I listened to some worship music, but the fact is it never engaged the depths of our heart. It may be something that's difficult to measure, but you know when something engages the depths of your heart. You know when God is moving. You know when God is speaking. And on this path that I was talking about in Psalm 16:11, the path, that it's a very narrow thing that we must find, and we must have a guide to find it. We must have someone to walk with us, the Holy Spirit, the very living presence of God in your life. So how much are you aware of the presence of God on any given day? It says, I got a quote for you. Teach a man to rule and you will help him solve a problem. Teach a man to walk with God and you will help him solve the rest of his life. I read a quote by a very wealthy man this week. He said there's at least three things that money can't buy. And the first two, man, I wish it was true. One, you can't pay somebody else to be on a diet for you. Okay? Two, you can't pay somebody else to be fit for you. And three, you can't pay somebody else to take care of your soul. That's ownership. That's responsibility. That's being spiritually fit. But at the same time, realizing something, that this is not about trying to find the right technique are trying to walk in some way that we think would make our lives just as easy as possible, but saying, God, my life is your life. And for me to come fully alive, I must have you as my guide. I must have you leading my way. When you think of how Jesus was living and following his life, think about his life. Think about his life. First 30-ish kind of years, don't know much about it. We do know he was born in dangerous circumstances. Dangerous circumstances, there was somebody trying to kill him. From the moment Jesus was born, there was someone trying to kill him. King Herod, I'm going to kill all the baby boys within 2 years. From the moment he was born, Jesus was under the sentence of he has to die. From the rest of his life that are written, people were always out to get him because he was following his heavenly Father's will. Whatever living dangerous means to you, you have to sort with you and God. Because some of you, God is stirring things up for right here in Savannah. God might be stirring something up for other nations and other places, but God's stirring up something rare. God might be stirring this up. You know what living dangerous is to me on a daily basis? I surrender, God. I surrender. I surrender. I can't find my path today, God. I heard an author this week, her name is Liz Bohannon. She's a believer. If you want to look her up later. She wrote a book. I don't want to say the name of the book because I'll say it incorrectly and it won't come out well. So just look up Liz Bohannon, okay? She says we live in a BS culture. Busy and should. Busy and should. How many times this week have you thought to yourself, I got a lot to do and I should? Instead of starting with God and saying, God, you know everything that's in my life. You know the swirl. You know the ins and outs. You know the details. God, what is the path that you're asking me to take? A path that He desires for us to take. And I'm not so sure how often we think about that, because as I was talking to my 9:30 group this morning, I think so often we live a life with Christ in an outcome mode. And what I mean by that is we live praying, God, give us this outcome, and that'll be good enough for me. And God is saying, I'm not as interested in your outcome as I am in being on the path with you. The narrow gate, living dangerously. What does that mean for your heart this morning? What does it really mean for you to live dangerously walking with God and allowing God to wake you up, to wake up your heart? When's the last time you felt a deep emotional move because it's the presence of God? When's the last time you felt the hand of God upon you moving and speaking? And the greatest part was there was an element of uncertainty, which like, God, I surrender. I surrender. So as we live this life, as we have our hearts try to come alive, we need some things to live dangerously. And the first one is this. Wisdom is needed. How about that? Wisdom is needed. Acts 6:3 says this, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Who said that? Care of the less fortunate, of the widows, of the orphan. We need some help, but we need people that are willing to hear from God on how to do it because we have limited resources. Do you have limited time? Do you have limited strength? Do you have limited energy? Because if you have unlimited of all of those, see me afterwards. I'd be curious. Because I want you to know, I think sometimes in our culture today, we chase living unlimited and we become exasperated, we become aggravated, we become irritable. We just become in a bad mood. Anybody said that to you, by the way, this week? Anybody looked at you and thought, man, he or she just in a bad mood? Probably looked at me and just didn't say it. But I think, as I say often to you, is this. This is what concerns me probably the most as followers of Christ. It's how we learned how to fake it. Dying by inches, living from moment to moment, living for a future glory that God says, it's here and it's a now. Wisdom is needed. We need to walk by the inspiration of the Spirit. We need wisdom as well. Not necessarily more knowledge. It's not that our hearts are bad, but we are untrained to walk with God. I want to say that to you again. Who showed you how to walk with God? Who showed you, hey, this situation may be difficult, but God's not going to pluck you out of it, but He's going to be with you right through it? Let me ask you a question. Your testimony. Your testimony. Did it come because life was always easy? Or is your testimony born out of adversity and pain and suffering and difficulty and unknown? It's born out when you tell, look what God did in my life. It's born when you're telling somebody there was a situation, or there is a situation, or there might be a situation, or there could be a situation, and my God was with me. Training your heart how to walk in wisdom. We also see in Proverbs 2, 9 through 11, then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path, back to that path thing again, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. How and where and when could you use some wisdom today? We're reminded in the book of James, ask for wisdom. We're also familiar with the story of Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3 when God appeared to him as he was getting ready to be king of the Israelites. And God basically said, Solomon, what do you need from me? You want me to take your enemies out, long life, or a lot of riches? Which one do you want? It's kind of funny. Solomon had free will. God didn't give him the choice that I think God wanted him to say. So what does that tell us? It tells us a few things. One, the hand of God was already up on Solomon. Two, God wanted Solomon to want God to want God. He didn't want to trick him, manipulate him, coerce him, or do anything like that. He wanted to see that inside Solomon, you have a longing for me. As a matter of fact, even though Solomon asked for wisdom, he said, God, I need a discerning heart. These people are trouble from the beginning. I've read the book. I understand their story. They're a difficult people to lead. Does that sound like anybody that you know in your life besides yourself? Where you work, where you hang out, where you might do stuff. But I think the key was this. When Solomon said, God, I need this from you. And God says to Solomon, because you haven't asked for long life or killing of your enemies or your great wealth, I'm going to give you all those and I'm going to give you a wise and discerning heart. You know, I think it was in essence, what he was really saying was this. Solomon, because you asked for my will, you get me. Because you get me. You don't get what I do, you get me. So when you're asking for wisdom in your life and you need to ask for it all the time, you need to be realizing something. You're asking for God to come. You're not asking Him to impart so you're smarter or faster or better or stronger. That we're not just going to live through the routine. That we're going to listen and engage the very presence of God in our lives through this wisdom. And I encourage you to do it. Because what? Did Solomon ask for wisdom on the other side of problems? Or did he ask for wisdom at the beginning because he knew life had difficulties? He knew that it wasn't always as perfect as he desired for it to be. So how about your life? What if you began to ask this morning today, God, give me wisdom. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know I'm going to need some wisdom. I'm going to need to be wisdom to be a spouse, to be a parent, to be a grandparent, to be a co-worker. I just need wisdom for life. I need wisdom for life. Begin to be proactive with your asking of wisdom and understanding that you are searching the path that God has for you so your heart can be fully alive so you can be the glory of God. So you can be the very glory of God. So your heart can be fully alive. The more that wisdom enters our hearts, we'll be able to trust our hearts in difficult situations. See, wisdom is not cramming our heads with information, but is developing a discerning heart. We seek wisdom because the trail is hard to find. We seek wisdom from the living God because sometimes the path that He's asking us to take isn't just obvious. It's one step at a time. Brothers and sisters, choose people in the body who are full of spirit and wisdom because they have a call on their life. You have a call on your life. Do not ever leave out the fact that God is ready to impart to you more at times than maybe you're ready to receive, but He is very willing to walk with you as wisdom is needed. But the thing about it is wisdom by itself isn't the only thing that's needed today. So as we think about walking with God, revelation is also needed. And I'll read to you John 10, 2 through 4 and 11. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. You know what I picture right there? I picture a bunch of pre-K kids just running around hollering and screaming, snot, juice cups going everywhere. I just picture just pure chaos. Not sitting in pews, not looking at one person speaking, but living life, trying to figure out, how do I take care of my family? How do I be a better follower of Christ? Living life. He calls his own sheep by name, and then he leads them out. Isn't that interesting? The shepherd doesn't provide for them in the safety of the pen. He says, we got to go out. We got to go somewhere for your provision. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is telling us some just so basic things there, reminding us this morning that he is taking care of us. And that when he takes us out of that pen, when he takes us out of something that might be comfortable or convenient, that he might be calling us somewhere to do something that at the initial part is just simply, are we willing to come out of the pen? Revelation is needed. God unfolding things. Did it make sense without revelation that God would tell the Israelites to walk around Jericho in a certain order, in a certain way, a certain number of times? Did it make sense without God saying it to tell Gideon to take your army of 32,000 and make it 300? That's revelation. Did it make sense for Jesus to go back to Jerusalem so he could be crucified when the world around him, when Peter was saying, don't do it! Don't do it! No, I'm going to listen to my Father's voice. How about when Moses decided to go back to Egypt at God's revelation from a burning bush, going back to the country that you had murdered somebody in, that they had already decided, you show back up, we're not going to be happy. You see, when we're moving in the wisdom and revelation of God, living dangerously, at times may not always going to make sense in our human mind, but we're going to put our faith and our trust in the sovereignty of God. If those stories were written about you, what would have been the emotional upheaval in your life? What would have been the emotional upheaval? The only way to move to a deep awareness of what the Father is revealing is through the Holy Spirit. And God is revealing things to us on a continuous basis, I believe, through the Holy Spirit. It might begin back to the living dangerously thing. It might be the fact that God is asking you to restore relationship. God may be asking you to a new relationship. God may be asking you, and then you fill in the blank. And you're like saying, God, but I don't know how, so I'm just going to stay in the pen. Throw some water and some food over the pen so I can just kind of stay here with my buddies. And God's saying, wrong, oh, I'm working out of the pen, and that's where you have to join me. And that's where you're going to be fully alive, and that's where you're going to display my glory, because people are going to see me, the resurrected Jesus. And not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to listen to you. Not everybody's going to fall in line and say, praise Jesus, because you told them the truth. But you found the path of life. You've been seeking wisdom. God is walking the path with you, and God is giving you revelation. God is giving you revelation. You know God speaks, but do you believe He speaks to you? You know God speaks to you, but do you believe that He speaks to you in love? You know God speaks to you in love, but do you believe what He is speaking to you? I'll say those again for you. God is speaking. Do you trust Him? Earlier this week, I was having a conversation with somebody, and I looked at him and I said, I'm going to ask you a question, and I know the answer is yes. Do you trust God? I literally go, answer is yes, right? And the brother, yeah. I said, but here's the real question. How far do you trust Him? It's easy to say, I trust Him. But it's not as easy to say, I trust Him on His conditions, not mine. About 2 weeks ago, Cameron was in a wreck in his truck. His truck was totaled. He was fine. The young lady that hit him, it was the other young lady's fault that they rear-ended his truck, totaled her, or I don't know that totaled her vehicle. I shouldn't say that. I don't know. It did total his vehicle. And that began a series of comical events. Why would I say comical? Because let me tell you something. If I do not trust Him, period, it'll become difficult to trust Him in the what ifs. If I don't trust Him, period, it'll become difficult to trust Him in the what ifs. This young lady's insurance had expired 10 days before the wreck. Let me tell you about revelation. Back in March or April, I can't remember what it was, I called our insurance company. For those who don't know this, you adults can explain this to the younger ones in the audience. Insurance is pretty expensive in Chatham County for a boy under 25. And my son says at 23. Okay. So I decided, you know, back in March or April, I thought, I'm going to call the insurance company and just see if maybe if we just take that truck and just get the bare minimum insurance. Maybe. So I'm always praying for wisdom or revelation. Doesn't mean I always get it right, but I'm trying to show you that every day you need to be asking God for things. Called the insurance company. The insurance company said, you know what? I don't think I'd take that truck off that insurance. I think I would just leave everything. How much do you think I thought of that conversation when that girl said, I don't have insurance? I literally said, praise God. praise you, God, that your wisdom and revelation is greater than my best idea in that moment. And it's better than all my best ideas, by the way. So that started a series of events dealing with all that. God was good through it all. I never heard from the other person that was in the wreck, even though they said they would take care of something. Never heard from it. And then about 10 days ago, I got up early one morning, getting ready to ask God for wisdom and revelation, but then something else happened. I heard running water. And our hot water heater sits in our garage. It had sprung a leak sometime during the night. So I just walked out in the garage with my bare feet. The water was so deep in my garage that it almost covered my feet. And I thought, you know, this is good. This is good. And I'm not exaggerating, I tell you this. I literally laughed to myself and said, God, it's you or it's nothing. It's you or it's nothing. As a matter of fact, part of that story that's kind of to be determined is this. I thought it had just a leak for a little while. I raised my garage doors. It had been running down my driveway. That means it had been leaking for hours. Praise God, it was in the garage, nothing's damaged. Praise God, literally. Okay, I'm trying to tell you today that God's very interested in you to this point. You ready? Literally, God told me who to call. Literally, God told me who to call. And I called that person. They came by later that day, took care of it. No questions asked, just took care of it. Praise God for all that. Wisdom and revelation isn't something that's part of my relationship with God, and it shouldn't be a part of your relationship with God. It is the very essence of my relationship with God. Because He desires to reveal Himself in my life, in whatever the times are. See, I don't think God looked at that water heater or that wreck. I don't think He looks at certain things in our life and He goes, that's a good thing, or that I think that's a bad thing. I think He just simply says, we're in this together. We're in this together. Praying for wisdom and revelation. The condition of your heart, He cares so much about. What have you allowed into your life that's stolen or killed or maimed? That's taken from you. There's a runner, I'll probably screw his last name up because it's spelled so weird. It's Dean Karnazes. Karnazes. It's K-A-R-Z-A-N-E-S. And he's what they call an ultra-marathoner. What does that mean? This guy is nuts. He ran 50 marathons in 50 days. He ran 350 miles consecutively over 3 days without sleeping. And he has ran what they call, it's a race that starts in Death Valley. It's 135 miles long, 7 times. And they ask him about it. He says, tell me about this. What kind of mentality does all those crazy things? And it's actually a mentality. See, I like reading about those kinds of people. I just kind of like to know, are they legitimate crazy, or is things so bad at home they just try to find a way to stay gone as much as possible? Okay. But here's what he said. I am now quoting him. This isn't Dane. This is him quoting. He said, you see, in America, we have confused something. We have confused comfort with happiness. I'm going to say it again. We have confused comfort with happiness. Now, I don't know if he's a follower of Christ or not, but that really spoke to me. Because here's what he said on the other side of that. He said, but finding fulfillment in something you put your heart to. That's different. Finding fulfillment in something you put your heart to. That's different. God wants you invested with your whole heart. And if there's some part of your heart that's missing today, God is in the restoration business. And as we look at these four streams over the next few weeks, this walking with God, this discipling by God, what He's doing is this. Let's begin to listen to that nudge, that gentle whisper, that random encounter. Let's begin to be aware of what God's really saying to us on a deep, intimate level. And I'll give you some statements, and I'll give you a question to close today. Walking with God. Here's some declarations to begin with for you. My life does matter, and God is not finished with me. Today, I can walk intimately with God. I am the glory of God, and I am fully alive. And my question for you is this. How will you allow God to rescue your heart? How will you allow God to rescue your heart? Maybe you've been hearing some other things today that has nothing to do with wisdom and revelation. So where is your great need for the presence of God in your life? My life does matter, and God is not finished with me. You know, when Moses went back to the promise, or when he went back to Egypt, the guy had just finished filling out his AARP paperwork. And he had just got on Medicare and Medicaid. He had turned 80. And God sent him for a purpose. So it doesn't matter if we're 8 or 80. God's not finished until He says He's finished. And I'm telling you right now, for the most part, most of you, I think, are breathing. It's questionable, but I think most of you are breathing right now. So that tells me God's not finished. The other thing I know is this. When you accepted Christ in your life and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, God wants you to experience the fullness of the intimacy with Him. Not in eternity, but the eternity that began when you began a relationship with Him, right now or right here. And you are the glory of God fully alive. You may not feel like that. And the truth is, there's probably days you don't want to live like that. But this path of life, this walking with God, this need of counsel, wake up tomorrow. Wake up and find your favorite electronic device and put a reminder throughout the day. Am I asking for wisdom and revelation to experience the presence of God, to be fully alive so I can glorify Him? I'm going to pray for us. We have our cards you can be filling out. Let's just pause and let's think about this for a moment as I just begin to pray. Let's just be deliberately seeking God. Father, as You have spoken to us this day, thank You. You do speak in love, and we can trust what You're speaking. And I'm not asking You to help us understand everything. I'm asking You to have an active faith, a living faith, a life-giving faith. What are You stirring today, Father? What got stolen this week that we need to ask You to redeem? God, how are You trying to renew us? God, how have we been living in the getting by spiritual world? Lord, I pray that we would taste and see that the Lord is good today. Rick and Regina will be up here. Kathy and I will be up here to pray with you. The altar is open. If you need to get somebody else to pray with you, that's fine. You can go ahead and be bringing your cards and your envelopes up here or a basket by the back wall. It's just a time for God and you to begin to or continue processing things. Lord, we put all this before You in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, as we leave this place, the living God is in us. And I pray that the living God would flow through us. Protect us, guide us, for Your glory and Your honor, in Jesus' name. Amen.